Now, I propose to extend this wild hypothesis of mine by taking yet another leap on both sides of the chart at once. If we take the two top levels as our starting point, the two aesthetic surfaces of language and music, and urge our minds still further on upward, and we need imagination to do this, we find ourselves on an even higher metaphorical plane, perhaps the highest there is, on which we can almost touch the essential being of both poetry and music. We are now beyond surface analysis, or even super surface analysis, beyond phonology, beyond syntax. We are into new areas of abstract semantics. And it's on this plane of thought, a transcendental plane, if you will, that the concepts of musical thought and verbal thought become comparable, where musical and non-musical ideas can coincide. And it's because this level exists that I was able to talk to you last time of Mahler's Ninth Symphony in the way I did. That's what I meant when I said a different level of discourse. But this level exists only in the case of such art as Mahler's, art which has that special power and inner creative energy to attain this philosophical level. Now, Mahler's music, and in fact all the music we've heard and discussed throughout these lectures, from Mozart and Beethoven to Ives and Ravel, whether intrinsically or extrinsically metaphorical, whether purely symphonic or programmatic, all of it has been only music. That is, we've never dealt with music which sets a verbal text, neither a song nor an opera. And thus, the semantic elements we've been examining, however extra-musical they may have been, as in Berlioz, for example, Romeo and Juliet, those elements were always confined to that right-hand side on the level of musical surface structure. Now, for the first time, as we approach Oedipus Rex, words and music, we are facing semantic elements from the left-hand side, and they will not only be comparable with their companions of the right, but must now merge with them.